Amen, amen. How's everybody doing tonight? How many Charger fans we got out there? Last week I told you we were going to have Kasim Osgood here. Kasim was the special teams player of the year for the Chargers. He's now a captain of the team. He went to San Diego State. And so let's give a warm rock welcome to San Diego Charger, Kasim Osgood. Kasim has been here all day long, actually since last night. So this is his sixth service, and he's addicted to talking to people and wanting to help people. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Hello to everybody. These are your people.
The 7 o'clock service.
That's right.
It's my favorite.
Tell him about when we first met, because it was at the 7 o'clock service. He went to San Diego State, and he was a student there, and that's how we met.
It was my first year. I was getting something to eat over in over by Montezuma Hall, and I was walking back towards Cuicacali. It was the dorm I was staying at the time, and it was like a salmon going upstream. There was just a whole wave of people just walking the opposite way I was walking, so I was trying to weave through. And I finally got tired of weaving through everybody, so I decided, hey, I asked one person, where are you guys going? He's like, oh, we're going to the Rock. So it was late at night. I was like, okay, well, Rock's probably like a rock concert or something. I was like, all right. I was like, so I asked the guy, what is the Rock? What is that? And he's like, oh, it's church. And I was like, 7 o'clock at night is church on a Sunday? I said, don't we go to church in the morning? He said, no, they have services all day. So I was like, okay, well, I decided to turn around and join the crowd. And I walked in, and that first service was the beginning of this long journey I've been on ever since. Yeah.
Last night, it was this morning, I can't remember when it was, we were talking and you, the first time we met, remember you said I said something to you? I don't remember saying that, but...
Oh, me and my teammate Eric Parker both had a similar experience with meeting Miles. We all know how Miles is quick to the point of what he wants to know about you. And I was sitting at church, and I think I was sitting right towards the front, because I got there early that day. And right before he went on stage, he sat right next to me, and I looked at him, and I was like, why is he sitting right here? He's supposed to be up on stage. So I wasn't nervous. I was like, well, I wonder if he's going to ask me any questions. I hope he doesn't jam me up.
You were a student at the time, right?
Yeah, I was a student at the time. And so he looked at me, and he's like, who are you? So, you know how football players are. They have this kind of, like, you don't know me? You know? But it was kind of cool because in college, you blend in a little more than I do now. So I told him, I was like, I play football for San Diego State, and this is my second service I'm going to. So he's like, I'm happy you're here. Let's pray for you. And then he prayed for me. And like ever since then, I was like, every time I try to get next to him, I was like, hey, I can get a prayer in today. You know, get a prayer in real quick. But Eric Parker met you the same way.
Eric Parker, you know, EP, Eric Parker, he was here this morning. Jacques Cesaire, number 74, D lineman, Roman Oban, Quentin Jammer, they weren't up here, but they all go to church here and a bunch of other guys. But we were talking this morning, and I don't remember this either, but he said the same thing. I was like, who are you? You know, I don't remember saying that to him. I don't think I said it to him. I think it's his imagination. Tell us about what you do as a special teams player.
Special teams is
a... First, tell size, weight, all that kind of stuff. You're 26 years old.
6'5", 220.
I'm up here a little.
Miles used to be this big when he played.
He was 6'4 this morning.
The Lord bless me with an inch.
All right, tell me what you do, special teams.
Special teams is considered the insane asylum. You got to be pretty crazy to run down the field. We do things like kickoff return, punt return. It's the biggest swing in field position. So you have both opposite teams lining up at the opposite ends of the field, and you have about 80 yards to run full speed into somebody. And I've been blessed with the job of wedge busting, and that entails running into three guys that set up a wedge, and they average about 330 pounds each. And they outweigh me by over 100 pounds, and I have to run full speed into them. So I don't do that on a regular basis. I try to avoid them at all possible. But the times I can avoid them, that's when I feel it the next day.
Tell us about the hardest, the baddest collision ever that you had.
I'd have to be my rookie year, Kansas City. I was running down. I thought I was free as a bird, running through. I was going to make a tackle. And I think it was, I want to say it was Willie Rofe who was in the wedge at the time.
And Willie Rofe's the offensive lineman. He's like 300.
He's an offensive lineman.
He's like 450.
Yeah. So I'm running full speed into him.
What is
He's almost 400.
He's almost 400 pounds. Okay.
And my coach had me so jazzed up to run down and bust a wedge and make the play that I had no other plan in mind. And I was like, I'm just going to run into the guy, and then he's going to fall down, and I'm going to make a tackle. This is how bad he had me thinking that I was that bad. I ran into that guy, and I must have felt like a bug hitting a windshield, and it hurt. I felt it for the whole next week. My whole body was just in pain.
But and here's the thing about everything that happens in practice and on a game is watched by the team. So no matter what happens, you know all night long that next day everyone's going to watch it. Yeah. And they're going to look at Kasim, watch 81. They follow you down, and bam, and everybody laughs, right?
Yeah, they... Guys on our team are ruthless. They'll laugh at you when you get hit like that.
I was running down on a kickoff once, and there was a guy on the team, the Seattle Seahawks. His name was Michael Jackson, and he was all pro, tough dude, Mike, with that name. Can you believe that? And I'm running down and thinking I don't see anybody, and he came out of nowhere and put his helmet right on my jaw. I broke teeth in the back of my mouth, and he was like 240. I was like 180, and I didn't see him coming. Bam. My whole body went up, feet went up. The first thing that hit the floor, the ground, was my head. So my whole body was up in the air. And so I didn't get knocked out. I don't know how I didn't get really seriously hurt. But in the film, some Michael Jackson is coming out of me. I don't know. But he hit me and I went, hee! But in the film session, the coach, and it's not only do the players, but the coaches will make fun of you as well. And the coach said, everybody watch 24, and he had a little light on me. And I'm running down, I got hit, and I'm flying in the midair, hit the ground, and they did it back and forth. So I was like, bam, whap, bam, whap, bam. But then he says, now I'm going to show you how tough Miles is. I got right up, turned, and ran off the field. I was like, I don't care where the ball carrier is, I'm done. And I just got up with it. Anyway, those film tests can be comical, very funny. Tell us about your receiver. What happens in the huddle? Because everyone wants to know what y'all talk about.
The quarterback's in charge, so he basically, when he gets in the huddle, everybody's eyes are on him. The center is the guy that sets the huddle, and he tells you, you know, we're lining up right here, huddle right here. Somebody like the tight end will tell you the personnel the defense has in, like they'll have dime package in or nickel package, and that's all based on how many DBs and linebackers and D linemen they have in the game at the time. And
it's really based on how many defensive backs, because we basically set the tone. Go ahead.
And one of the running backs will give the down and distance to say, like, third and five is fourth and one, tell you how many yards we need to get. So when you line up, you're aware of that. And then when the quarterback gets in the huddle, everybody's quiet, all eyes are focused on him, and he gives the huddle call, and we're all hoping that we get the ball.
So the center will say, here we go. The tight end will say, dime, nickel. What is normal? What 4 DBs, what do they call that? Standard?
4 DBs, yeah, they say base personnel.
Base personnel, so everyone knows who is on the field on the defensive side. And then someone else will say it's third and one, or fourth and two, or second and long, or second and 10. So everybody knows, everyone's clear on what's going on. And then the quarterback would call the play and tell them what the play would be.
Regular play would be stem, I right, fax, gone right, 048, F shoot.
Okay, so explain what all that means.
Okay. Over 300 plays.
Okay.
In a huddle call, the basic huddle call will go from a shift, the movement, the protection, and the routes. So the shift, I right, stem is the movement by the Y. He goes over, he shifts over. And then the fax is the movement by the F. And the gone right is the protection. The lineman needs to know what the protection is. And then the 048 F shoot is the specific routes that we each run.
And so basically, the first thing is formation, and then if there's motion by a receiver, there's a name for that. If there's motion by a running back, there's a name for that. And then there's a name for how the offensive line is supposed to block. And then there's a number for the route, the play. If it's a pass play, you have four receivers or five routes, so they have a number for every one of those guys. And so they call all of that, bam, 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 bam. And then there's a code word that they can use for a play, just a word. That would be, like, what's Flutie? That's a play, right?
Is there any Raider fans in the house?
Okay, we go.
I'm not at liberty to say the code word. Yeah, but to sum that
security,
up.
Security.
We can shorten all that up with this one word, so it makes it easier. But the hard part is learning the whole word first, the whole play first. And then once we all know the plays, then later in the season, you can just make code words and make it simpler. Mm-hmm.
Tell us what God's teaching you.
God is he's teaching me a lot. For us in the limelight, you become a target. There's a lot of people that don't want to see you succeed. And for me, God has just showed me that, you know, there's only so much time that you have with the people that are around you that you have to share your faith. A lot of people are scared to, like, speak in front of crowds. Like a guy on our team today, he was scared to come up and talk in front of the church. But once he got up here, the Holy Spirit led him. And we never know if he touched anybody that was in that service. But
we couldn't shut him up.
Yeah.
He was here at 11:30. He wouldn't stop talking. I was like, you know, you were scared. Matter of fact, I emailed him a week ago, and he didn't email me back. This is like my boy, right? So I saw my practice, like, why'd you email me back? Oh, man, I didn't want to go up there and talk in front of the church. It's so weird. I was like, that's why you didn't email me back? Yeah, man, I didn't want to go up there. The brother stood up here and ran. He couldn't shut him up. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, oh, the biggest thing is that, I mean, from the time that I started playing football, there's been people that have been on my team that have been troubled with something in life. I mean, you know, we play football on a Sunday and it's on TV and you sort of become popular in the town that you play in. And for some other people, they become popular nationwide. And so you kind of get looked at differently, but at the same time, we're just as human as everybody else. And for those of us that are Christians, it's even harder to maintain that walk of faith. And I mean, in high school, I've been a Christian ever since I was 12. I got saved when I was 12. And I've been on football teams where we've had gang members, rival gang members. I've had teammates that have gone to jail. I've been to funerals of guys on my team in high school that have been shot in gang warfare. In college, I've had friends that have died from drug overdose. I have friends that have gone to Iraq and have been killed in the war in Iraq. And even on my team on the Chargers, we have had teammates that have been shot. I've had teammates that have been stabbed. And like these wounds that happened to them could have easily taken their life. That whole situation could have easily swung. So I look at my life and I have to realize, you know, how hard is it to just go up to somebody and share your faith? It's so easy that you could save their life. So God has just been tugging on my heart to look out after my friends. I have a lot of friends that don't go to church on a regular basis. So for me, I mean, it hurts me that I haven't had the time to talk to some of those friends that I've lost. I can't get that back. So every day, I try real hard to look out after the people that I care about, and because there's a lot of people in my life that I know they're not going down the right path. So I have to just make sure that I'm going to be the light for them to see the Lord. Because one of my friends now that's on my team is in the hospital. He was in the hospital, and I mean, you guys all know what happened to Steve Foley, and he's one of the guys on my team that the very first day he was there, he saw me struggling in practice, and he pulled me to the side, and he said, hey, I'm going to be here for you. I'm your teammate. You can lean on my shoulder. When you need me, I'm going to be there for you. And the night that happened, I wasn't there for him. So that just, again, it brings you back to the word where you have to be the light for your brother to lead him down the right path. And I've had friends that have been addicted to drugs, and I just... my boldness now is so much higher than what it used to be, and I just want to be there for all the people that I know and the people that I don't even know. I want to be able to be a light for them to say that, hey, this guy's going through what I'm going through, and I don't want to be looked at as just the guy that plays football, but the guy that's there mm-hmm. that's always going to be there to help no matter what. Mm-hmm.
And I want to encourage y'all to pray for Steve Foley, because, you know, the media portrays him one way and they always talk about his arrest record, and they always show these mug shots of him. But he is, his heart is this big, and he really is the guy who, when he sees you, he comes over, and he's a sweet guy. And pray for him, because he could have died. He could have died, and it would have been a tragedy. And Kasim is always talking to guys on the team. We're always strategizing who we're going to witness to. And there's several other guys on the team that we have that go to the church that we have Bible study with. And we're always strategizing who we're going to talk to, who we're going to witness, what's going on, to keep me informed. It is not about us just hanging out, you know, because we're football players. It's more of how do we use that to get these guys saved. And there are a lot of guys on the team who are searching for God, who are maybe they're not married, but they're living with a girlfriend. We're trying to get them married, and they really are receptive. They're like, man, I know I got to do the right thing. And so it's really a neat thing to see. And the access that God has given me and the other alumni to come down there every week, which we never had for all these years, up until 3 years ago when Coach Schottenheim invited us out, is opened the door for us to be there every week and have full access to the team on the field, in the locker room, and to talk to guys, and we use it for ministry. We're always like, who do we get next? What's happening with this guy? What's happening with that guy? Because that's what we're about. That's what the church is about. That's what this is about. And we want to encourage you to do the same thing. So go ahead.
You got to tell them about your story about Marty, the day he came out to practice.
Why don't you tell them what I do, and then I'll...
We have an alumni day every Thursday, and the alumni come out and speak to the team. And every Thursday, Miles has a different story to tell us that relates to what our team is going through. And it was a day. I'll let him explain the rest of it.
Well, one day I went out there, and they had a bad practice, and Marty was beyond angry. Just imagine being angry. He was beyond angry. And he was yelling at them and giving them some choice piece of his mind with choice words. And it was, now you have to understand, they practice, then they line up in rows to do calisthenics. Then he says, all right, come together. This happens every day. Then they'll come together in a circle, a little circle, so they all crowd around, all huffing and puffing, and they had a bad practice. And when we got there, half hour, you know, 20 minutes before the practice ended, you could sense it wasn't going good. He was yelling, they were missing dropping passes, and it was just a mess. And so they came together, and he starts yelling, yeah, just yelling at them, like, y'all messed up today, you know, in his own special special way. Now, I have to tell a motivating story when he's done. And so I'm standing there going, this is not good. And he's like, bah! I mean, he is just yelling, oh God, never do this again. I mean, and it was like, I was like, dang. And I'm sitting there going, okay, what am I going to say? And right when he finished, he's standing here, I'm standing behind him, and the guys were not a very small circle, and it's real quiet. And everyone's like, just got scolded by their parent. As soon as he's finishing, he walks backwards out of the circle. And he looks at me and says, go ahead, Miles. But it wasn't like friendly. It was like, he was like this. All right, go ahead. You know, like that. And I was like, and then, because it was you. I heard his voice. I didn't know until last service that it was him. He was standing behind me, and I heard someone say, good luck, Miles. And I was like, okay. And it was like, right now. And you know, my whole purpose of going is to motivate the guys, you know, encourage them, blah, blah, blah. And this was the kind of thing where, I just yelled at them, you do not encourage them. I want them feeling bad right now, so do something else. That was the kind of, you know, he didn't say that to me. That's what I was feeling. And I was like, okay, and I told the story. But I felt like that Southwest commercial was just want to get away. I felt like that. But that was an interesting day. Well, let's pray for Kasim. And matter of fact, I want to take, I'll try this. Three. Everyone say three.
Three.
Everyone say three.
Three.
Matter of fact, say three only.
Three only.
Questions from the crowd. See, either I do it or I don't, right? Yes, blue. Yes, right here. Yes, in the hat. Stand up. Say your name. What's your question? Oh, Clister, what's up, man?
I want to ask you, just being a football star or whatever in the limelight stuff, and then being a Christian.
You talking about me, football star in the limelight? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, my bad. I just had a flashback, you know what I'm saying? Question was, how does he handle all the temptation, women, blah, 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 blah?
Simple answer is strength in numbers. I have a lot of friends that are Christians that look out for one another. So accountability partners, people that are there that when they're always with you. So they know, okay, I can see this dude's getting tempted bad. I'm just going to grab him and pull him to the side and tell him, hey, let's go. Get out of here. Let's go. Times where you're tempted to the point of no return. It's just you hear that voice. So I always pray that voice will just turn the volume up so much that I just kind of like start ringing the ear like, I'm hearing it. I got to go. Get out of here. So I best just strengthen numbers, work as a team.
Question over here. Question over here. Yes, in the back. State your name.
Peter.
Who
would you say your biggest rival is this year that you guys train about?
Biggest rival.
Our biggest rival this year, the game that we want, that we didn't win last year, was Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh. That's the team.
One more over here. Yes.
My name's Steve. Why have the Raiders been so bad for so long?
I don't know if I should say this, but natural leadership versus spiritual leadership.
Let's pray for Kasim. Let's pray for Kasim. Lord, we just thank you for Kasim, and we just pray that you would bless his season. We pray that he would bust those wedges like Samson, give him supernatural strength to knock over the 400-pound lineman and make the tackle with sheer violence, and and that you would keep him healthy. And Lord, we pray that he would be a powerful, powerful light on the team, powerful witness. And we pray that you would continue to multiply the Christians on that team, the people who not only confess it, but they live it. In Jesus' name, amen. Give Kasim a hand, amen. Amen, amen. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your Bibles. Word. Ooh. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Numbers 26. We have one more message next week in Numbers, and the week after that we're going to do the quiz, and then we'll move on. Have you guys enjoyed going through Numbers? Have you learned a lot?
Yeah.
Amen, amen. Hey, while we're sitting here, two people, raise your hand. Tell me what you have gotten out of going through Numbers, what you learned about the Bible, about whatever, anything about what you got out of this. Anybody? Yes. I'm sorry? Quit complaining. What else? Yes. That guy's got my back. All right, girl, go ahead. What else? Yes. Never go against the word of God. What else, y'all? Very good. What else you learned? Yes. Let your words be his words. Very good. Yes, what else? Don't be afraid of what? Don't be afraid of giants. Very good. Yes. Keep pushing forward through resistance. Yes.
Don't be a core.
Very good. Did you guys learn that a book like Numbers, which is a book that you probably would never want to read because it's in the Old Testament, it's Numbers, is very exciting? No? Oh, okay. You're like, excuse me? Beat a donkey. That's right. Everyone go, Numbers 26. Lord, we pray you bless us. We pray you teach us. And I pray you encourage us to do ministry. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
As you know, we're under construction in Point Loma. We purchased two buildings. Our first building is going to be our sanctuary and school and offices and bookstore and cafe. It's 244,000 square feet, at least it was before we remodeled it. And I was down there yesterday. There was no construction going on, so it was pretty quiet. Walking around the sanctuary, the balcony is all built. It's framed out, so I was walking around the balcony. It's gigantic. The room is like nine of these. It's just three times as high, three times. It's just big. And it's awesome. The balcony, to give you perspective, if you were on a 50-yard line on a football field, it goes in a half circle all the way to the goalpost. And if I'm on the stage, it goes from back there all the way around past 180 degrees up here. It's just awesome. So I was walking around there praying, just dreaming about all the people are going to get saved there. We got some nice cool areas we're going to have people sit other than in the regular seats. In addition to those little areas that people can sit that are going to, it's just awesome. But anyway, I was sitting there praying and just in awe of what God has done and what God is doing. And I was thinking, we're going to move in next year, so it'll be 2007. I was thinking in 2107, in 2107, 100 years after we move in, we'll all be dead, okay? Matter of fact, if you're around, then you're going to be nasty looking, okay? So you probably want to be dead. But we're all going to be dead, and there's going to be a whole new staff, all everyone in the church new, and none of the people that are going to be in the church then are alive now. Matter of fact, a lot of their grandparents aren't alive now. And they're not going to know anything about, we're not going to be able to communicate to them directly because they're not here yet. And the question is, what are they going to know about us? What are they going to think about why that church was made? Why it was designed? Who built it? You ever go into an old building and they say, yes, back in 1829, our forefathers built this building. And you hear all that stuff, you're like, yeah, whatever. And you really don't really know what those people really believe because you can't talk to them. It's all dependent on the legacy they left. How do people remember? Now, it would kill me. And I should probably put this on the video because we're going to leave a time capsule at the church. We are. It would kill me for them to have to turn it into a Christian country club. Where they're not reaching out to people. They're not inviting everybody in. And it just becomes a nice little place. And it actually would kill me if it's all these seats and like 50 people in it. It would kill me because I've been in churches where there's thousands of seats and they got 50 people because it died. Someone had a vision. And it was all, and then that person went away for some reason, and the church died. We have to one, establish today what our legacy is going to be. And that is going to be established when all of y'all establish what your legacy is going to be. Because that church is going to be what we all make it. Not what I make it. What we all make it. Okay? And so today we want to talk about that. Now, I'm going to tell you in advance, this whole sermon is designed to get all of you to go to the ministry fair that's at the end of this building. All day long, they have a ministry fair, and they have a whole bunch of ministries I'm going to talk about. And I want to encourage all of you, when we're done, that you go down there and go to the ministry fair and sign up for ministry. Okay? Is that fair? So I'm telling you in advance. I'm going to give you some scriptures because we're in church, but I really want to get you to go down there and go to the ministry fair. So let's all look in the Bible. Now, if you remember, in Numbers, they walked from Mount what? To the plains of what?
Moab.
And remember we did a series on numbers. There were a lot of numbers. How many days was it from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land?
Seven.
Very good. How many spies they sent in the land?
Seven.
And how many good spies came out?
Two.
And how many bad spies?
Ten.
Very good. And they took a census how many times?
Twice.
Come on now.
Twice.
Say it with confidence.
Twice.
Very good. They took a census in the beginning. And then the bad spies convinced them not to go. God walked them around till they all died, and they took a census at the end in the plains of Moab. So today we're going to look at the census they took in the plains of Moab, the second census. Now, as they go through the second census, you're going to see a bunch of names. It's real boring. And, you know, this guy had these many sons. This guy had these many sons. This guy had these many sons. Add them all up. But in this census, there's two groups we're going to look at who are people who had died that did bad things. Your legacy is going to be determined by the good things you do and the bad things you don't do. Because you can do a lot of good things and do one really bad thing, and that's all people will know you from. You want to avoid those bad things. See, if you tell somebody don't do something, that's what they're going to have in their mind. Your mind can't think don't do something. Your mind can only think positive, do it. It's like when you play golf. Anyone here play golf? If you ever play golf, And there's water over there. If you tell yourself, don't hit the ball in the water, your brain is going to hear, hit the ball in the water. The don't part, it can't register. Okay? And you're going to hit the ball. What you need to think is, hit the ball over there. When I ride a motorcycle, when I had my class, the writing class, they said when you go through a curve, don't look down. Because if you look down, you go down. Look at the end of the curve where you're going. So if you're riding through a curve like that, look at the end and you'll end up over there. Don't look in front of you because you'll go there. So what we want to talk about as we look at these two stories about people who were bad, we want to say, how do we not do that by doing something good? And that good is going to be going to the ministry fair. Does that make sense to you? Just say yes. Very good. It's going to make sense because you'll see in a minute. Let's read chapter 26, verse 9. It says, the sons of Eliab were Nemuel, Dathan, Abiram, and these are the Dathan and Abiram, representatives of the congregation who contended against Moses and Aaron in the company of Korah. Everyone say Korah. Korah. Don't be a Korah, right? When they contended against the Lord, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, when the fire devoured 250 men, they became a sign. In your notes, first thing, you want to leave a legacy of spiritual and not natural leadership. You do not want to be like Korah. But instead of telling you don't be like Korah, what I'm going to tell you is to leave a legacy of being a spiritual leader, not a natural leader. Now, remember, if you remember this message, if you weren't here, we did a message on this. We had a whole comparison between a spiritual leader and a natural leader. You can get the tape. You can get the lesson plan. It's in the bookstore. It's on the internet. It's there for you. But a natural leader is someone who is independent. I can do this by myself. A spiritual leader is God-dependent. A natural leader has his own ideas. A spiritual leader seeks God's will. A natural leader wants to get glory for himself. A spiritual leader wants to get glory for God. And you go on and on and on and on, on. We have a whole list in there on the lesson plan for you. It's on our website. The point is that Korah went behind closed doors, got 250 leaders of Israel, and came to Moses and says, we want to do what you do. You're not the only guy who can preach. And we're challenging your leadership. That's natural leadership. That's politics. That's manipulation. That's gossip. That's backbiting. Don't do that. Don't waste your time. Don't be a part of that. People like to do that. They like to scam on people and plan and scheme. And let me tell you something. You may get somebody one time, but in the end, this is going to happen to you. See how the Bible says the earth opened its mouth in verse 10? You will run yourself into the ground if you do that. Don't live your life trying to manipulate your blessing. Don't run your life trying to get what you can get with your own power. It doesn't mean you don't work hard. Please don't get that. It doesn't mean you don't plan. Doesn't mean you don't strategize, but you do it at the submission of God. God, what do you want me to do? I wish I could stay up 24 hours a day and work. I love working. I wish I could stay up 24 hours a day and never sleep, even though I love to sleep. But if I could never get tired, I'd work 24 hours because I love it. But you know why? Because God's called me to do it. And I'm saying, God, what do you want me to do? And there's a lot to do, a lot of people to help. But if you got to say, God, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to help? What hill do you want me to take? What challenge do you want me to take on? What challenge do you not want me to take? Who do you not want me to argue with? It's got to be about what God says, not what you say. It's got to be about the challenges and the gifts and the callings God's put on your life, not what you want to do. Now, how does that translate to the ministry fair? I hope you see it. This is not about you sitting here. It's about you doing something. And if God has called you to do, and by the way, God has called all of us to do something. It's not a multiple choice. Can I serve? No, it's only one choice. You know, God does not run a democracy. That's a human thing. The Bible's not democratic. It's theocratic. God is in charge. What he says goes. That's it. You just do what he says. There is no, what do you think? Man, give me some advice, people. God ain't saying that. It is about I've called all of you to share the gospel to somebody. I've called all of you to use the gifts I've given you, and I've called none of you to just sit and listen. If you got that somewhere, it's not in the Bible, and if you got that from your church, you misunderstood the church, or the church taught you wrong. The Bible has called every Christian to be a witness to Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts. What does that mean? Your immediate city, your surrounding area, your nation, and the world. God has called all of you to be an ambassador for Christ, a representative. He's given all of us the ministry and message of reconciliation where man can be reconciled to God. That is not optional. And so the reason we have the ministry fair is so you can exercise and develop your spiritual leadership. So you could do something. That's why we have the fair. So you can know what's going on. We have parking lot people. How many of you ever drove into this parking lot in a car? Whether you drove it or a passenger, raise your hand. It's not a trick. It's everybody. Unless you walked across the street, you drove in here. Well, you know those parking lot people? They got to deal with a lot of junk in the parking lot. People cursing at them, yelling at them. Oh, yeah. I know that they've been cursed at and yelled at, and I know some of the people who've done it. And they're in the parking lot praying because they can't curse back. I'm sure they probably sometimes want to. And I wouldn't justify it. It's not right, but it's like very frustrating. And they're like, Lord, get these people out of here. Get these people out of here. They need 50 people to help them. Why can't y'all do that? Y'all come to church at 7 o'clock at night. What do you do all day? No, I don't watch football. What was he thinking? We have parking Saturday night, Sunday morning. And you know what? You can serve. 5 o'clock. There's no reason you can't. We have ushers and greeters. You can serve. When we go to a new place over there, we're going to have to quadruple and quintuple all these services because everything's so much bigger. We can't service the church with the people we have today. We can't even service this with the people we have today. How come you're not doing that? Small group. Get in a small group. Be a small group leader. High school, junior high ministry. Y'all are the perfect age to be in high school, junior high ministry. Y'all should be, if you remember when you were in high school, you remember how much you didn't know? Remember how much you thought you knew? Say amen if you can remember being in high school thinking you know a lot and now realize you didn't know jack. Well, we got the same high school kids up. They don't know jack. You know who they're going to listen to? You. You remember being in high school 17 years old and you met someone in college? Or met someone who was 22, 23 years old? Wow. They weren't old. I get to tell you, oh, you're an old man. I'll whoop your butt, though. They want to talk to you. Go to high school, junior high ministry. Matter of fact, I got a note here from the high school pastor. It says, junior, senior high ministry, leaders, the most fun they'll have. Exclamation point. Go to high school ministry. Let me give you the next point in lesson plan so I can talk about the ministry fair, just so I can give you some Bible, because we're in church. Okay. Verse 59. This is the family of the Levites. Actually, look at verse 58. These are the family of the Levites. The Levites are the son of who? Very good, Levi. The family of the Libanites, the family of the Hebronites, the family of the Mahalites, the family of the Mushites, the family of the Korahites, the Uptites, the Mosquitobites, and Adasites, and Ikes and Tina Turnersites, and Korah Kohath begat Amram. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed. Can you imagine meeting a girl? Has anybody here been named Jochebed, by the way? Just before I tell this joke. Yo, girl, what's your name?
Jochebed.
Holla. Verse 59. Name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. And to Amram she bore Aaron and Moses and Miriam. Aaron, Moses, and Miriam were brothers and sisters. To Aaron were born Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. If you remember, Aaron was the high priest and only his sons could be the priests. So he had four sons. Those were the four priests. Look at what two of them did. Nadab and Abihu died when they offered profane fire before the Lord. If you remember back in Leviticus chapter 10, we did that months ago. Abihu and Nadab, Aaron's sons who were priests. Now we're talking about Catholic priests, Jewish priests in the temple. In the tabernacle, out in the wilderness, they had very strict rules. They hit the 40 ounce. The Bible said they drank wine, got a little, and they said, let's go praise the Lord. They came into the tabernacle, and God killed them. And Aaron, their dad, said to Moses, you know what happened? He says, your sons gave profane fire or illegitimate fire to the Lord. They desecrated the tabernacle. They broke God's law, and he killed them. You know what Aaron said? Couldn't argue with it. God says, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. That was the message. Now, the message for us today is God going to strike you dead? Probably not. I say probably, but, you know, he doesn't do that kind of stuff as much today. But his message to us is the same. Don't mess with me. Don't take advantage or take for granted church. Don't take for granted your ability to come here on a Sunday night or whenever you want to come and your ability to be involved in ministry to help somebody. Don't take that for granted. Don't look at those ministries, oh, that's for somebody else. Oh, no, it's for you. God has called all y'all to do something. Let me name some of these ministries. And by the way, when I'm naming this stuff, there's an information booth in there, and we want to know what you want to do. Y'all have ideas. Let me name some of these ministries. Lifeline Ministry. They have a ministry to people in convalescent homes. Now, I want you to understand that 90% of the people who get saved, 89% of people who get saved before they're 20 years old. They've had led 300 people to the Lord who are in a convalescent home in 2 years. They've had people in comas, come out of comas, get saved, go back in comas and die. Miracles. Miracles. Your grandmothers and grandfathers are getting saved. Maybe some of you can help them. Foster care. 75, hey, amen. 7,500 kids. Is that Lisa? 7,500. Lisa, can you stand up and just wave to everybody? Y'all need, is that Lisa? You need to go see that girl right there. There are 7,500 kids in foster care. She is on a mission to get a mentor for every single one of those kids. She's already got 160. Last year, 160 kids, mentors were placed from this church. There were 400 kids on the list. Then, 160 were placed. Two of them are now in foster homes from people in our church that decided to open up the home to be foster parents. Amen? She introduced me to a young lady the other day who's been in 18 high schools and 27 foster homes, is 15 years old. And you know what this girl said to me? I want to follow the Lord. Is there somebody, and now these are my words, is there somebody at the Rock can help her? Kids like that all over San Diego. The devil is trying to destroy those kids. And some of them he's winning. And we have the answer, and we sit, come to church, laugh, go home. And God's like, it's breaking his heart. Breaking his heart. There's a ministry getting ready to start. They're going to have a meeting Tuesday night. It's not started yet. You can get information at the information booth in the ministry fair. If you remember me telling you about the movie Trade, the human sex trade, they come over our border. There's 12 major ports in the United States where kids are brought in from around the world to the United States to be sold to people here to be sex slaves in this country. San Diego's one of the main ports right over the border. They bring them into Mexico, bring them across the border, and they have homes in San Diego County where they house these kids before they sell them to be sex slaves. Right in our midst, driving right by you on the freeway. So we're going to get involved with some people who are going to help us try to help these kids. I don't know all the details of how they're going to do that. There's a ministry and there's a meeting Tuesday night, 6:30, but if you can go to the ministry information booth and you get information about that. There's another ministry that when I read this 2 days ago, I was crying. I was so happy. Four women who are strippers or saved are going to go into the strip clubs and purchase time with these women to share the gospel with them. Now, I'm going to tell you another thing about that. There are women who come to church here now who are strippers now who come to church here. Let me say something to those women. I am so happy you are here. This is where you need to be. And I hope that people of the Rock will love you and help you out of that. There is no sin that we do not want here at this church. When you hear people say they're hypocrites in church, this is where they're supposed to be. This is where the hypocrites are supposed to be. This is where the knuckleheads, the sinners are supposed to be, right here, so we can love on them. If you, and when this ministry is up and running, if you want to get information to be involved in it, you can go to the ministry booth. This is not for any guys.
The Lord spoke to me, Miles. The Lord. Oh, no. No.
Don't even try it. But if you're a woman here and you feel like, you know what, I want to help, go to Ministry Fair. Go to the information booth because the ministry is not set up yet. There's a ministry that you can start. How many of y'all ride the trolley? Anybody ride a trolley? The bus, mass transit? Everyone's got a car, huh? Excuse me. Good. You ever go on a trolley on the bus and you see people sitting there like this? The trolley's bouncing around? There's a ministry right there. My sister, her and her family live with me right now. She 3 days ago was saying, hey, whatever happened to a history teacher we had 30 years ago? The day after she said that, we haven't seen had contact with this guy for 30 years. Just kept popped in her head. I don't even know why. Because he wasn't my history teacher, but I knew him. My mother calls the next day, says he committed suicide. You have no idea. And you know, I don't know that God will do this to us in heaven because it would be depressing, but it may be like right before we get into heaven, like in the lobby. I don't know. I haven't been there. I'm just guessing, right? But you can go in a lobby and, you know, and y'all hear all singing stuff and say, hey, come over here. You know, just right before we go in, we just want to show you something. Oh, what is it? What is it? Well, you're not in heaven yet. Okay, so just know that. We just want to show you. And they run a video. And this is not going to happen, but this is just me. My opinion, right? Don't mean nothing. But they run a video. As a matter of fact, it's something we need to run before we die. Here are all the people that you could have helped. Here's all the people that wanted you to say something. Here's all the people you knew that lived next to you, sat next to you in school, worked out next to you in the gym, and you never said anything. Look at all these people, thousands. And matter of fact, if you would have helped those people, here's all the other people they would have helped. Thousands. Do you know, I was 19 years old, standing in a department store, 9:30 at night in a black neighborhood, and these two white hippies, bummy looking, and I was looking at them because I was wondering why they were in this neighborhood. And they... And they were just nasty looking, beat up Bibles, dirty, long beards. You know, Jesus freak, typical Jesus freak guys? They walked right over to me. I was big old afro, smoking weed. I just got high. I wasn't smoking weed at the time. And I'm standing away from my girlfriend again. I was like, eh. And they came up to me, me, a trip. And they said, hey, brother, hey. Now, I don't remember any of this, but I'm just making this up now. You know, I mean, how they were talking. But they had Bibles, and they shared the gospel with me. They had me read it. And I got saved. I saw them once or twice. I saw them once or twice after that, and that was it. Then I fell away, but I was saved. Every day, I knew I was saved. Went to charges, met a guy. He confronted me with the gospel again. And that's when I got committed. Those guys probably think we wasted our time. When we get to heaven, if this is Amway, them brothers, big time. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to say, brothers, let me show you what happened. Let me show you what happened. I don't even know all the people. That's you. That's you. And you're probably thinking, well, I don't know anything. You don't need to know anything. You've been there. You know, we have a ministry for marriage mentors. How many of y'all are married here? Raise your hand if you're married. Okay. How many of y'all are not married? Okay. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up, please. All the people who are married, look at all these people that are probably going to make a mistake. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that because there's something wrong with you. It's just human. The world is bombarding you with bad information. The world is saying sleep together, do everything, live together, do everything, and make sure you're compatible. That is a complete garbage lie. And so you're probably going to make a mistake somewhere along the way. We have a ministry of marriage mentors where married people can mentor young people. Imagine how much hell we can save all y'all. And I'm not, I mean, it's funny, but I'm for reals. There's a guy that I know that my wife and I, we're going to ask him, can we be their mentors? Him and his girlfriend, it's a whole life and a family that can go from here to here. That's the kind of ministry. That's the kind of help, just from spending time with people. There's a guy who was having issues with his wife, and like a month ago, he said, "Hey, man, can we counsel?" And I was like, "No." I said, "I don't want to counsel you. Just tell me what the problem is right now." "Well, you know, blah, blah." I said, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. You do this, 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 and then come back next week. We see each other every week at a football game." I said, "Come back next week and tell me what happens. But I bet you if you do these things, your problems will go away." "All right." I'm counseling him every Friday when I see him at the game, but I don't want to get in the office and pay an appointment. It's too stressful. So I see him, and I saw him next week, which is like 3 weeks ago. "What happened?" "Oh, man, it worked. It worked. And she's crying. And I was like, "Okay, do it again. See you next week." So I see him a week later. "How's it going?" "It's going good. Oh, man, it's going good." I said, "Okay, now here's your assignment. You owe me." This is my boy, so I can say that to him, right? You don't owe anybody. You don't owe me anything. But for him, he owes me because he's my friend. And... but here's what you owe me. You have to now find someone that was just like you and tell them what I told you. So I saw him Friday. "Did you find anybody?" "Oh, yeah, man, my friend. And I told him, do this, same thing with you." And he's like, "How did you know that?" And I was like, "Well, you know, I'm an experienced marriage person. I mean, and I was like, "Exactly. Someone told me." That's all you got to do. That's two marriages. Two in 1 month. Two marriages that were going this way and now going this way. And he'll never go back because now he knows. You could do the same thing. Whether it be marriage. Do you know that there are kids in high school ministry right now dating? They don't know nothing other than what the hormones tell them. Now, maybe you don't know nothing other than what your hormones tell you. But you know what your hormones are going to do to your life. You can help them. You could save. I met with a couple right here before the service. I knew them when they were in high school. They're now 30-something years old. And they dated in high school, got married when they were right out of high school. They're going to church now, and they're 30-something years old with kids, doing good. Why? Because that foundation was laid. Let me give you some other ministries. Foster youth, deaf ministry. We have a woman in this church who got a house and has and started a foster home for deaf kids because there's no place in San Diego for deaf kids in foster care. She has two, and they're in there volunteering, waiting for you to come in there right now. Right now. Homeless ministry. They're on the streets three nights a week, giving food and clothes to people, short with food. We have a church without walls in Balboa Park. They have service every week to homeless people. Rock Recovery, 7 homes of people in addiction. Lifeline told you about that. Disabilities ministry. They have 100 adults every Monday night at services with people with disabilities. Donations ministry. They gave out 80,000 articles of stuff last year. TJ house building. Prison ministry. My brother-in-law is looking for a house and he found this house in a gated community. I said, "Brother, Donovan State Prison is a gated community." It is. There's a whole bunch of people in there living behind a whole bunch of gates. Why can't you go minister to them? There's no reason. There's no reason why you can't go. We have 2 volunteers in this church. We have a pastor full-time who goes in at 6 days a week. We have 2 other guys who go down there, and they are the yard chaplains, and they're volunteers from the church. They're down there all the time. You want to go into prison? Call the church. Go volunteer for prison ministry. If your heart is racing right now, I'm not saying it's God, but I'm going to tell you, it may mean something. Some of y'all need to go. We have a woman on our staff who was preaching in the prison to the men about a month ago. Preaching, a woman. Now, forget the fact that women preach. Forget that issue for now. Just that she's in there preaching to those inmates. They're not going to do anything to her. It's completely different than what you think. Go sign up. Prison ministry. Missions ministry. Let me just read these off real quick. Evangelism ministry, military ministry, martial arts ministry, mountain ministry, sports ministry, fitness ministry, runners ministry, sailing ministry, rock climbing ministry, servant ministry, arts ministry. Arts is singing, painting, drama. Drama. We need drama. We need dramas. We need dramas. Photography ministry, mime ministry, youth ministry, a small group ministry. Do you get the point? The ministry fair. Huh? Altar call ministry. Matter of fact, altar call ministry. Now, the first step is that you give your life to Jesus Christ. Here's what God, here's a progression. You wake up one day and you realize you're a sinner, because everybody's a sinner. you realize that your sin is going to drive you into the ground like Korah. It's going to kill you. You're going to die and go to hell. Jesus Christ says, you know what? I die for you. Not only do I want to forgive you of your sin and grant you a whole new life, eternal, I want you to grant you abundant life here, and I want to use you beyond your physical ability. You get saved. You ask Christ to be your Savior. You realize why God created you. And you go, wow. Before I got saved, I was always asked to go speak places, and I said, I'm not a speaker. Me. No. Take a picture. God knew all along. You know, God has something for you that's way beyond your mind. You ask Christ to be your Savior, and you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to follow you now, not myself, not the crowd. I want to follow you, and I want to follow, be like who's on TV. I want to be like who's in heaven. And then God says, I want you to go over there. I want you to go over there. I want you to do that. I want you to do that. And then you are fulfilled. You will not be fulfilled doing anything else. You may feel fun a little bit. You will not be fulfilled. The reason I want to work 24 hours a day is because I am fulfilled with what God has called me to do. And he has something exactly that fulfilling for every single one of you. And it is not sitting listening to me. It is going down to the ministry fair. And figuring out what does God want me to do. Amen? If you feel manipulated, please don't feel manipulated. I told you in the beginning I was going to try to get you to go down there. What we're going to do now is we're going to pray. There may be somebody here who needs Jesus Christ as their Savior. We don't want to forget that. So let's all bow our heads and pray and listen very closely to what I got to say. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. Thank you so much that you died to give us a chance to be forgiven. And Lord, I thank you for this service and this church. What a blessing. What a blessing. What an amazing group of people. Thank you for Kasim. We pray you bless him and use him. Keep him strong and bold and focused. There may be somebody here today who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. They don't know. They haven't experienced his forgiveness. They know he loves them. But they haven't experienced his forgiveness. And today's your day to ask Jesus to be your Savior. To ask him to forgive you of your sin and fill you with his Holy Spirit and to give you a whole new life. If you would like to be forgiven today, receive eternal life. Just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. But as you pray, you must believe and trust that he loves you and has a plan. And you must believe and trust that he knows you. No matter who you came here with, this is between you and God. That person sitting next to you cannot get you to heaven. So in the privacy of your heart, if you would like Christ to forgive you, pray this prayer. Dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong. And I believe Jesus loves me. I believe he died and rose from the dead. And I believe he has a plan for my life. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart and be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand if you prayed that prayer. And by standing, you are acknowledging Christ as your Savior. You are acknowledging that, yes, today you are ready to take that step into eternal life. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet and acknowledge Jesus. God bless you. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. Stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God is saying, what else do you need to hear? What else do you need to experience? What more pain do you need to have to know that living life your way ain't going to work? Anybody else? Stand to your feet. Please stay standing. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. There's angels in heaven saying, come on. Come on. Don't turn it down because they know this is real. Stand to your feet. God bless you. You got angels in heaven saying, come on, give me a chance to work in your life. I want to fight with you, protect you. Anybody else? Now we're going to ask all y'all who are standing to do one more thing. As we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask all y'all who are standing to come out of your seat, walk down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Who's the man? Very good. Stay right here. Just like this. You don't have to face everybody. Stop it. Give me to the middle. A little to the middle. God bless you. God bless you. Amen, amen. Let's give him a hand. Come on now. Very good. Very good. Amen. 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 Very good. Who's the man? Hey. God has forgiven all of you. Now he's ready to do his thing. You have to let him. And all you have to do is obey him. Do what he says. That's why I read the Bible. What does he want me to do? It's not about you anymore. It's not about you. You have just surrendered your life to him. It's a relationship. And so we're going to, in a minute, where's my altar call? We're going to follow that guy in a minute. And we're going to talk to you. For the rest of y'all, ministry fair. Amen? Let's pray for them and then we'll go to ministry fair. Lord, we pray for all these people. We pray you do an amazing thing in their life. And Lord, I pray for this church that we can be a light. We know the devil don't like what we're talking about. We know the devil doesn't like what we're talking about. But we know you do. And we know greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Thank you. Bless these people. Create an army from this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to your right and walk that way. Amen. Come on, let's give him a hand. Let's give him a hand.